You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is All in Our Family. I am Ms. Yolanda Robinson. We are all family. All in Our Family, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. And this is S. Yolanda Robinson on All in Our Family. We have on our program today one of the president of one of the organizations that I worked with for many, many, many years, trying to affect change and make change. And I think it's just where I grew up. It's the National Black Political Assembly. We have Ron Daniels on the line. And before we get started, I want to take a few minutes to recognize those people who have gone on that laid the foundation for me and many people that were in, that were members of the National Black Political Assembly. I'd like to reckon, in memory of Dr. William E. Nelson, Jr., Ron Walters, Charles Ross, R.L. Gilbert, Billy Brown, Ralph Clark, Chuck Sales, Helen Arnold, Bailey Turner, and Kensel Payton and Kwame Ture and Margaret Willis. These people worked with us in the Black Political Assembly, and we worked many, many years making a difference. And we have Dr. Ron Daniels on the line, who was our national president. And in the studio, we have Akko Cambone, who was the president of the Columbus chapter when I first joined. And we have our own Irv Gallo, who is a radio host of Getting Down Down to Earth on Talktainment Radio. So, is that Dr. Daniels on that line?
It sure is.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. When I'm in the company of Yolanda Robinson and the inimitable Akko Combo, what else can you say?
Oh, my God.
You know, this is reunion time, isn't it? The best. Yes. Well, I'm just really happy that you were able to take the time to be on our show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Black Assembly. I mean, kind of like reminisce back in the day. And you know, Irv Gallo, when I talked about you, she just started shouting, and she said you were one of her mentors. Do you remember Irv?
Who was it?
Irv Gallo.
No, well, here's the truth. She said when she was a little girl, about 5 years old, and you were 45, you had a television show in Youngstown.
That's right.
And she was feeling sorry for you because you were so old. As you came on the stage, she decided that she was going to take up the mantle after you dropped.
No, you know that's not true, Mr. Daniels. Let me tell you, when I was telling Miss Yolanda Robinson, we were having a conversation one day, and I was telling her, I was like, I'm really trying to get Ron Daniels on my show. I said, when I was just in elementary school, he had a show that would come on in Youngstown, Ohio. I was the youngest child watching the show, and I said, and I would remember him with his dashikis on, and he was talking everything about Black power, and I knew that when I got older, that is what I wanted to do. So, yes, you mentored me from the television set.
Well, we did, that was one of the, I mean, I'm very, very proud about that. I hear a lot of people, you know, who talk about the show. We started off, doing a half an hour called, we call Perspectives in Black, which was a part of an effort, and this is why some of the conversation becomes important. They had something called the Black Communications Coalition, Black Broadcasting Coalition in Youngstown, and they were fighting to get Black people, you know, for the first time into radio, television, whatever, because we didn't have those images in those days. And as a result of that, you know, Channel 33, ABC in New York, and in Youngstown, a guy named Howard Duncan, pretty nice guy, kind of a bleeding liberal type of sorts. Mm-hmm. We were sitting around, and he was saying, look, I would be glad to open the airways, you know, to have a public affairs show, but we just can't find anybody. Are any of you willing to do it or whatever? And I said, yeah, I'm willing to do it. And that began, and I knew nothing about it except to do OJT, learn on the job, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And that ended up for, I was on the air in Youngstown for 17 years.
Wow.
As a result of that, and yes. I developed my own style.
Yeah.
We went on to do, at the end of the day, one time we had as much as 90 minutes. We then ended up doing an hour.
Wow.
And I was one of the very first to do what they do on C-SPAN. Well, my program director said this was not good television. That was to open up with a commentary and just me and the audience and just go at it, have, you know, dialogue and back and forth. And the other thing I'm quite proud of is that we would often incorporate youth in a segment. We'd let them come on and do their break dancing and popping. You know, and so we knew that's why they would look, and then hopefully they would get some political content as a result.
Yep.
So, yes, a lot of people, you know, watched the show, and it was at its height. The political establishment was always tuned in to see what was going to happen on the Ron Daniels show.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I
thank you for that.
Yeah, and I can remember it back in the assembly. We would work all day, but we would dance at the end of the day, have our tambourines and the whistles. I just reminisce all that those good times.
Well, and by the way, you know, we have to, you know, just want to say a word about two other people who passed away, Amiri Baraka recently.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And of course, with the Amiri Baraka, with the forces of Kauaita, you know, they used to call us the Ohio Players.
Yeah.
Because we would throw down. You know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the other thing I have to say quickly before we begin, we really do have to just say a word about Chokwe Lumumba, the esteemed mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, who was just such an incredible, you know, revolutionary, progressive, and, you know, to become mayor of the city of Jackson, Mississippi was such a feat. I was down there for the inauguration. We were planning to do the next State of the Black World Conference in Jackson, Mississippi to help bolster his position. So that was such a sudden and dramatic and tragic loss to have, you know, him pass away.
Yes, yes, it certainly was. Yeah, there's been so many people that have worked with us and, you know, throughout the years and that have passed away. We really need to take good care of our health. And, you know, and I think I was really fortunate to work with some of the best minds. Most of them were in the Black Assembly. They were, so that was awesome. But, you know, Dr. Daniels, the 1972 convention in Gary, and I believe Akka was there too. But what was the climate like back in 1972 that led up to this historic convention that happened in Gary and Indiana?
Well, you know, and I think we can be very proud from Ohio because we, you know, eventually took the lead to have the most formidable assembly in the country, without question.
We were.
quickly, the background, and a lot of people don't remember this, is we were coming off of a decade in the 60s when, you know, Black Power came onto the scene. And frankly, it was pretty rough ideologically because the new generation was blistering, you know, the established leadership, the Urban Leagues, the NAACP, those organizations. You had the Black Power conferences in 67 and 68. And, you know, we were calling these leaders handkerchief heads, Uncle Toms, and all, you know, it was rough because we were just coming into our own. And then there was a very remarkable thing that happened in 1970, because without 1970, there is no 1972 as far as I'm concerned. Imamu Emeri Baraka, along with a number of other people in the Congress of African People, including the then Haywood Henry, who's now in Tongolese Isanyika, Preston Wilcox, a number of other people, they convened the Congress of African People in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1970 at Morris Brown College. And that was significant because it represented a kind of detente, a kind of truce in this internecine ideological warfare that was taking place. Because in that conference in 1970 was everybody from Owusu Sidoki, Emeri Baraka, Halim Abdul Farrakhan, which is what he was called then, to Whitney Young. I mean, that was the spectrum of leadership that was there. And I remember Lerone Bennett Jr. being there saying, wow, my God, look what's happening here. We've been able to bridge the ideological divides. We have, you know, somewhat of a united front. Now, because that happened, that positioned Baraka, and we have to give him credit for that, mm-hmm. to, in fact, you know, push for the calling of the Black Political Convention in 1972. Mm-hmm. Because what he was able to do was say, look, we can reach across the divide. You know, we brought Hatcher in, mm-hmm. you know, brought Diggs in. And what Baraka then said was, look, we have to have this reflected throughout the process. So as you recall, every mm-hmm. state had a chair, but you had to, every state had to have a nationalist or an activist as a co-chair. And mm-hmm. that was reflected all the way through. Mm-hmm. But for that provision, I would not have been the co-convener of the Ohio delegation. Mm-hmm. And so that set the stage then, you know, for the Gary Convention. And, of course, it was a milestone convention, the Gary Declaration, which people should, I'm sure, can find online. I'm sure. In fact, we have on our website, IBW21.org, you can go and see an hour of it, mm-hmm. you know, on our website. But mm-hmm. the Gary Declaration was like a Bible to me for many, many years because yes. it laid out a race-class analysis. Mm-hmm. And it talked about the problems we faced and how we should move forward. And it just wanted to be, I mean, to get 8,000 to 10,000 people in Gary, Indiana, right mm-hmm. in the era of, you know, Carl Stokes having been elected, Richard Hatcher having been elected. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a remarkable, you know, event. And out of it came, you know, it didn't come a Black political party, mm-hmm. but we did get the National Black Political Assembly as mm-hmm. the continuations mechanism. And mm-hmm. I think if there was one thing we can point to, mm-hmm. it was almost like the Manchester Pan-African Congress when people came together and the leaders in Africa decided they were going to go back now and take power. Mm-hmm. After Gary, many, many people went back and decided to run for elected office. Mm-hmm. So when you combine the Voting Rights Act of 1965, mm-hmm. you know, with the Gary Black Political Convention of 1972, you saw then a huge, huge number of Black elected officials after 1972.
Wow. Now, Akko, you were there, weren't you?
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
Were. What, how did you feel now, then in that room?
Well, I was very young.
Yes.
And it, I was in awe.
No.
He's very young. Tell the truth.
I was in awe of watching my older brothers yeah. from Ohio do such a magnificent job. I must admit that that I was very, very proud not only to be there and to be a part of it, but it was an awakening for me uh-huh. as an individual as well. Uh-huh. Now, I'm listening to Earth, and she, as she talked about when she watched TV and watched Ron. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, as I watched Ron, you know, we're focusing in on him since, you know, he was so instrumental in this whole process. As I watched him as an aspiring leader, and mm-hmm. I was one who was ready. I thought I was ready for leadership. And I watched Ron. I watched a few of the other brothers that we can talk about and sisters who, mm-hmm. who were in leadership position. Mm-hmm. It showed me a number of things. It showed me some things what not to do. It showed me some things what to do. It showed me how to ensure that you reached your goal by connecting with other people, by ensuring that you're not the person that's always in the limelight, that you mm-hmm. that you highlight those people who are actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. I learned so much. I mean, quite honestly, I learned so much about leadership yeah. from just being a participant in that. So when I came back yeah. To Columbus, I was on fire yeah. and I was ready to do whatever needed to be done. So I think that Columbus should be very proud uh-huh. because we had a lot of things. Let me just give you an example of something that I remembered, that probably more than anything else that stuck out my mind. I'm sure Ron remembers this as well. At one point, maybe the second day or so of the conference, the crowd started chanting, "No more speeches, no more speeches." Mm-hmm. And Reverend Jesse Jackson was to speak. Uh-huh. And so when he took the podium, the crowd was saying, "No more speeches, no more speeches. Time for Kazi, time to work, time to work, time to work." And so uh-huh. everybody was talking about work. And Jesse stood at the podium and he allowed people to get it all out. Uh-huh. And then that brother took the podium and just smoked. And within 30 seconds, people were hollering, "Jesse, Jesse, Jesse."
Just turned the whole thing.
So, in my opinion, now, I'm a young brother at that point, trying to learn certain kinds of things. And now, based on what I do for a living, for what I do on a daily basis in terms of speaking to thousands or hundreds or scores of uh-huh. people, uh-huh. I've learned, and that one situation allowed me to see how you can turn the energy from a crowd to get them to where you want to go and where you think that they need to go. Because initially, people were not interested in hearing any more speeches, but Jesse was able to turn that energy into a movement that said, "Okay, now let's talk about what needs to be done." So, I take my hat off, as I always have, to Ron and to so many other people who played such a positive role in me being comfortable with becoming a leader and me being comfortable in where I am right now.
There wasn't any book or around. There's not a book or classroom that could give us the kind of experience that we got when we were in the Black Assembly.
Absolutely.
We could even touch the and talk to the congressmen, the movers and shakers in our community, and affect change. It was just an awesome experience.
Well, and let me just say something else about that real quickly, because it you know, even when you see the film, you don't grasp it, because there's never been anything like it since. First of all, this was done probably in about 6 months. I mean, this was incredible. I think Hatcher raised, from some sources, $100,000 to get the process going. And then you have to say, really, that Baraka's Congress of African People was the secretary. They were the disciplined troops that provided the clerical administrative infrastructure for the proposition. But listen to this. All across the country, we had local political conventions, because just to go back and remind the audience, this was about, among other things, forging a Black political agenda. It said, look, no matter where we are, we cannot participate in the electoral political process because of personalities, because of party, whatever. We have to have a Black agenda. And that's where, you know, that began to be, even though we had similar kind of things before, it had never been crystallized around this idea of a Black agenda. So what we did was we had participatory